Oh, baby!
Welcome back to that 590 show. Danny Jones from the Columbia Daily Tribune is going to be on the Bellman Automotive phone line here in about 15 minutes. So they are available right now at 855-282-8255. And the text line, same number, 855-282-8255. Last night, Mike Leake almost pitched a complete game, his first one since like 2015. Had Matheny kept him in there, but he pulled him there in the ninth inning and then brought in Tyler Lyons. Which is good to see Tyler Lyons get to work, but this is an opportunity, in my opinion. You spent so much money on Brett Cecil, and this is a low-leverage situation, not a lot of pressure. Why not bring Brett Cecil in and have him pitch this inning and just see if he can maybe get his confidence back and get his groove back in?
Speaking of Brett Cecil and the bullpen of the Cardinals, I needed to kind of write that stat I put out there because there was a little bit of confusion there. They are not 14th, but they are not around bottom of the league. Bullpen ERA for the Cardinals right now sits at 4.27,
okay,
which actually is 19th in the league. So they are in the bottom half.
They're in the lower half.
They are in the lower half, but
they're towards the top of the lower half.
Although if you look at the teams behind them, Marlins, Phillies, Royals, Padres, Tigers, Mets, Rangers, Mariners, Nationals. I mean, there's only two solid winning teams in the list below them. So I think that's something.
If you're a Nationals
fan,
you've got to be angry about how good that team is and how bad that bullpen is. Yep, and they knew going into the season how bad that bullpen is, and they pretty much did nothing.
Yeah, you got to pretty much hope every game that Strasburg and Gonzalez blank them across 7 2/3.
Yeah, and Max Scherzer too. Yeah,
I mean, and Scherzer too.
I mean, and Strasburg, he's not exactly the most durable.
That one. Usually Scherzer's going to do that.
Unless he's playing against the Cardinals this year. The Cardinals, I'm telling you what, when they were in their free fall at the beginning of the year, they were the ones who beat them. They beat them with like almost like a spring training team too. It was like Eric Fryer was starting at catcher, and it was usually a bunch of bench people. Greg Garcia. This is before Peralta went down, and Jed Jerko was, I think he was probably playing third base. But anyway, back to last night, Matheny puts Tyler Lyons in, and I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I think I would rather see Brett Cecil in there and have Brett Cecil kind of maybe work some of the cobwebs out. I'm not sure what exactly is wrong with him, but they invested a lot of money into him. They need to get him right if they want to get the season back on track. So I think I probably would have stuck Cecil in there last night. But
same time, I think also notching a win was important at that juncture. You know, they were having a solid series against the Dodgers overall, but at the same time, you let one get away with you in a late inning, although you got lucky to get that run to extend
that one in the first place. You got a 5-run lead. Hopefully Cecil isn't that bad where he blows a five-run lead.
I'm just saying.
If he gets two more across the board and it's 6-3, then yeah, go out there and get him.
I'm just saying.
If that's the case, you wanted to
notch a W. If you have another 5-run lead, maybe throw him in there.
And if that's the case, if you can't trust Brett Cecil with a 5-run lead, then my God, you need to start thinking about what other alternatives for him. I'm not saying you got to send him down to the minors, but maybe someone will take him off your hands. And you'd hate to say that considering it's only a couple months into his first year of many with the Cardinals.
I think that's a thin hope there, Matt Berger.
You starting to get worried about Dexter Fowler?
No.
I mean, he's barely batting above the Mendoza line, but is he normally this streaky, though? I don't think he is.
Yes.
Is he
normally? He's always been a streaky batter. He's never been a consistent guy. If Dexter Fowler is going to hit 280, it's because he goes on a couple hot streaks. Fowler's never been a guy who's going to just consistently sit around, that 280, 300 mark. He's never been that guy. He's gonna fluctuate.
Well, he's got a career average of 266.
He's going to fluctuate wildly. Okay,
but I mean, he's batting 206.
Yeah, he's going to have. Yeah, I think we'll see him getting a little bit of mojo. Obviously, the injury, he was hitting better, but I think the injury still kind of throws you out of your routine a little bit. I'm not worried yet about him, mainly because at the same time I didn't have high hopes that he would be able to recreate the offensive year he had.
His last 7 days he's 2 for 23.
Yeah,
that is not good.
Same time, almost all the Cardinals, the majority of the Cardinals lineup is struggling right now.
So it's kind of like what Joel Maddon said: as you go, we go.
Or
it's proven to be true here too.
Or as the point you made a little bit earlier, I'm more worried about Piscotty and Grichuk than I am Fowler right now.
Yeah, I have no idea why Randall Grichuk is continuing to start above Tommy Pham at this point.
Well, they're looking like they're going to change that a little bit today.
Tommy Pham starting tonight, thank God. But why Randall Grichuk is continually starting above Tommy Pham when Tommy Pham is swinging a high bat, I'll never know. I think we kind of know what Randall Grichuk is. I don't know if he's ever going to live up to his potential.
Is I don't think we know what Randall Grichuk is. I think saying he might not live up to his potential is way too soon of a call at this point, especially when you talk about a baseball player. This would be too much of a – when you talk about a guy, you know, coming on – I think, you know, when it comes to games played, he'll be coming on two full seasons pretty much right now. I think, this, especially in baseball, this is too soon to say that he's not going to reach the potential you saw it. Is he struggling a little bit? Yes, but at the same time, because he's a young player, I don't feel any problem with Matheny sticking with him because Randall Grichuk is – you're playing Randall Grichuk now because you need him to be a better player in 2018. Tommy Pham's probably not going to be with his organization in 2018.
Who would you rather see in left field? Would you rather see Randall Grichuk or would you rather see Max Sierra? Max Sierra, who provided a spark for the team, and Randall Grichuk really hasn't. I'd rather see Max Sierra.
I'd rather see Max Sierra because of the opposite of the or other than the Pham argument, you can make the argument again the same one with Grichuk as you can with Max Sierra, which is you play Max Sierra now because you want to see him grow for 2018 and 2019 and 2020, which is the same argument you have with Grichuk. So obviously, in that point, you're correct. I just don't think you have because Pham's 28, almost 30.
He is.
Right? And so you're not thinking about Pham in a way of, we want to see this player grow for the next couple of years.
Tommy Pham's problem is that he can never stay healthy.
That's true. But you're thinking in that way, I think, with Grichuk. And I think that sometimes, you know, you don't want to be the Padres and be focusing entirely on having a young team and growing that young team. But at the same time, there's so much talent there with Grichuk. When we see it, when he does catch the ball, that it flies. And so that's not something I'm gonna harp on Mike Matheny for. Is sticking with Randall Grichuk. I understand wanting to stick with young players, especially since we've bashed Mike Matheny for making comments about how he's
not
here.
I've been one of them.
He's not here to grow young players. Well, sticking with a young player when they're in a little bit of a slump and giving them time over a veteran who might be having a hot streak, that's part of developing young players. And so I think maybe he's learned, or maybe he's just accepted a different kind of role now that we're 2 years separated from that comment, and we have it, people like Piscotty and Grichuk getting everyday time, where when he made that comment at the time, the team was a little bit older. And so, I have no problem with them giving him time, because Grichuk is the future of this team. Tommy Pham is not.
I'm not as worried about Stephen Piscotty because he's coming back from injury. So I think, you know, a hamstring injury at that too, your hamstring, especially with batting. You don't think about batting when it comes to legs, but batting's almost all legs. It's almost all legs.
You also have to remember that Grichuk is still playing better than he was last year when he had to get sent down. And I'm not saying that you're happy with his development, but I'm saying is the guy clear? I don't think we've gotten to the point like last year we did with Colton Wong. We can honestly say that Randall Grichuk is regressing, and I think that's more worrisome than maybe a wall in the progression.
Did you read Ben Fred's piece over the weekend about? No, I think it was over the weekend. Maybe it came out on Monday or yesterday about the Cardinals whiffing on Luis Robert and the Chicago White Sox basically outbidding and outdueling the Cardinals to sign that 19-year-old outfield prospect out of Cuba. And he's talking about, like, you know, will the Cardinals approach, you know, that they've used in the past, will it work going forward? It's a really good piece. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it.
Well, with everything that Bob Nightingale has said, not only his articles but also on multiple interviews on this station this last week, everyone who's complaining about their lack of spending money right now is either going to have to eat it when Manny Machado signs here, or we'll just have a dozen more bullets to add to the big one that is Manny Machado when he doesn't sign here. Because everything Bob Nightingale is talking about is that the Cardinals are gearing up for a run at Manny Machado, which tells me that there's a reason you sit out of a $50 million bid
for
Luis Robert, because if you're about to pay a guy $300 million over 8 years or 10 years, then I can, even this organization with how much money they have, I can understand sitting back on a couple deals for a couple of years and not running for it. And again,
well, hopefully Nightingale knows something.
I don't think you can necessarily. A lot of people want to bring up the David Price one. That's the one that still smarts on the Cardinals.
Like, yes.
That's the one the Cardinals
Because David Price has even said, I went to bed that night thinking I was going to wake up in the morning and be a Cardinal.
And now,
it turns out I'm a Red Sox.
And now it's May 25th, and David Price is just about to get his first start this year for the Red Sox.
David Price is so awful in the postseason, too.
And he had a rough year, and he had a rough year last year at times. And the reason that he didn't come to St. Louis is because Boston just kept upping the offer. And so I guess, you know, this all comes to the point of one, which was my earlier point about them sitting back because of the Machado later on down the line, or two, do you want them to put out money even if it's going to be a crappy deal?
I just have real questions about the Cardinals and their presentation. Like, I'm curious of like what their presentation
is. This is the second inkling we got that the presentation side of their free agency pitch fell short. I think the player was anonymous who this past offseason said that he didn't like the way they were pitching the organization to him. And
I'm wondering how they're pitching it to him.
And now obviously we see that. Now here's the thing: I don't think we've seen any comments that Robert was not impressed by the Cardinals. I think we've just seen comments that he was blown away by the White Sox.
Yeah.
And so let's not assume the Cardinals sat down and had some crap presentation
here
simply because another team blew them away. That doesn't mean they didn't put it up. It's just the White Sox, who have Juan Mancato, who have other young Cuban players, who I'm sure they took advice from on this kind of deal. Let's not act like the Cardinals just laid down.
No, I'm not saying
that. All we know now is the White Sox blew them away.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and our friend Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good evening, guys. Great show.
Appreciate it.
You know, in this Cardinal stuff, there's a million question marks. But I'll remind you, a year ago tonight I called you guys. I know tonight Hockey Bob's excited because of Game 7 with Pittsburgh and Ottawa. Remember last year, Rock, I think I talked to you and Howard on this day. Pittsburgh and Tampa were locked into a Game 7, but I was worried about what was going on in ESPN and one of the primo events. The Scripps National Spelling Bee. Well, an hour ago, I was scared to death when I seen it wasn't on. I was worried it was another program, an ESPN drop. But thank God, I know you two guys will be worried about Game 1 next week in the NBA Finals. I normally would have been, but thank God it's a 7-game series. I'm going to forfeit Game 1 because you got it next Thursday night in prime time, riveting Spelling Bee action.
Do you put down any money on the spelling bees, or like, are there any odds?
No, nobody is interested with me. This is what makes me kind of the king of sports, because I'm worried about the spelling bee. Like, Howard knows me, and Howard talk about it, right, Rock? We're worried about the hot dog eating contest, and I'm excited. I know you two guys' favorite sports, football, just think, you know what opened up today? CFL training camp opened up today in Canada.
You can't find an internet site to take your action on the spelling bee, though?
Thursday.
What,
guys,
Jim, what makes you think this is ESPN2 in 1997?
Watch the spelling bee.
Jim, what makes you think this is ESPN2 in 1997? I don't care about those sports. I'm sorry, buddy.
I know. But, Rock, remember, as a hero of Roger Staubach, watch the spelling bee next Thursday.
Just
spelling bee action. I mean,
a wonderful player. A terrible franchise.
Words that I can't even say.
Wonderful player.
I always worry about the youth of America, but that's one thing I don't worry about, the way those kids know how to spell.
Jim,
I'll get off now so you can get back to the real show. It's great with the Cardinals. But like we said, my only big problem with them, real quick on a serious note, I just wanted a little levity. I'm sorry. This team, in my opinion, can't go anywhere because they can't do two fundamentally sound things. They run the bases like drunken sailors, and they feel like iron gloves. And all great Cardinal teams of the past could run and catch the ball.
You're right.
This team has two major deficiencies. They didn't correct it. They always talk a good game. Matheny and Mozeliak say we're working on it, but I never see the progress. So until they work on that, I say go, kids. I can't wait a week from tonight to spelling bee. Hey, great show. You guys take care. Thank you.
You too, Jim. Enjoy that spelling bee action.
Yeah, watching all those Americans in the Final Four for spelling bee.
Yeah, you can't find like a website I'll take his action on the spelling bee. There's got to be.
I guarantee you, Bovada will take that action.
Oh, I'm sure they will too.
I don't know why people I feel like
this is one of those things that I'm amazed that's televised.
I feel like I'm eclectic enough to not go on a rampage about how stupid it is they televise that crap. I don't know why.
But there's a lot of things that are televised that people watch. I'm amazed by.
I hate the Scripps national spell. I don't know why, but it boils in, it boils irrational hatred in me every year. I hate the Scripps national spell in me. I have no idea why. I just do.
I think
there's somebody
that's
who
a
hates
weird thing to hate. Hate's a pretty strong word.
As someone who can't stand people who are adults and can't spell, you think I'd be like, yeah, get them spelling young so I don't have to deal with it when they're 18. It annoys the day. I'm not annoyed by it. Good for those kids. Good for the kid. You know, good for the kid who will win 30 grand for that. I'm annoyed by people who like. I had friends in college who would always watch Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Really?
And it made me furious.
Okay, they were watching it straight, though. They were on something and then they were watching it.
I'm not saying we weren't playing a drinking game with it. It doesn't change my mind that people who. No, thousands of people watch the Scripps National Spelling Bee every year. I guarantee you, you will see people my age who are tweeting about it, and for some reason, I want to jump through the screen onto their side and beat them to a bloody pulp for it. I don't know why. I hate it. I can't stand talk about it. I don't know why it bothers
well,
me.
Well, you keep talking about it, and I'm trying to change the subject, but you keep.
Going. Oh, is that what you're
gonna
do?
Yeah, you keep going on this hill.
Well, here's the thing.
But like, I don't understand like poker, televised poker. I don't understand that one.
I get that a little bit more.
Darts kind of confuses me.
I don't get darts. I don't get televised darts.
One show
I
that
I
do not understand. Bowling, I understand.
I get bowling.
One show I am amazed that it's still on and it's a big hit. And when that first came out, I laughed. I'm like, this has got to be a joke. And that's Dancing with the Stars. I mean, you really give a rat's patoot. That Tracy Bingham from Baywatch can do the rumba. I mean, seriously.
Speaking of Dancing with My Stars, my dad's he and my mom watch it every night. And I just
do they really?
Yeah.
They find it interesting.
My parents are just like the Rudolphs, and that they watch everything that you think might be kind of trite and overdone on basic television right now on ABC, NBC, or Fox. My parents watch it. The Voice. All
Voice,
that
yep,
stuff. They
same, yep.
like
that.
Literally, religiously.
I don't watch it, but I understand it. I don't understand Dancing with the Stars. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Danny Jones from the Columbia Daily Tribune. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.